Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's podcast. Sure do appreciate your faithfulness to listen day by day. We've had a great uptick of people that have been watching, or not watching, but listening to the podcast, and that means a lot to me. One way that you can help us, if maybe you've just started listening to the podcast, or even if you've listened for a while and have not done so already, is would you consider leaving us a review? Reviews really help us in the sense of it drives the podcast and gets more people to listen. Our goal is not to be popular. The Lord knows our heart, but our goal is to get the Bible into as many hearts as we possibly can. A great way to do that is just leave a positive review, if you would, and then share. Be willing to share the podcast, the episodes. I always post it on my Kurt Skelly page. It's Kurt Skelly page on Facebook. If you want to go there, you can always share it with somebody else. We also do a video podcast there as well. But enough of that. I just thought I would mention that. And if you could help us with that, that would be a blessing. Verse number 23 of chapter number 25, we left you last episode with a little bit of a cliffhanger. David is mad as a hornet, and he is on his way. He is going to wipe everybody out. Abigail has the gifts, and she is riding fast to intercept David. And verse number 23, and when Abigail saw David, she hasted, lighted off the donkey, and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. So she adopts this position of humility. She fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, hear the words of thine handmaid." Wow, John, I just don't know that if this were, if it were I who was going out to negotiate with David, that I would have taken the responsibility for this.
And this is quite a lady here. For her husband has committed the wrong, clearly, but she does go out and says, "Upon me, I'm the one who has done wrong. I need forgiveness." I mean, this is quite a remarkable woman to do this. I mean, a lot of people just say, "My husband's a lousy husband. He's a jerk. I can't believe what he did. But here, I want to help you out." But she does look at what Nabal did as part of who she is, and she apologizes.
She understood something that I think we need to resurrect in our culture, and that is she understood the principle of representation. She is part of that household, and when Nabal had made that decision, he made that decision representing the household. Abigail obviously had not made the decision, nor had she agreed with the decision, nor would she have, but she also understands that she represents that side. So she individually says, "I have done wrong. Let me take full responsibility for this." And there's so much I want to say about this. Number one, we see this pattern in the Bible among godly people. And the person that comes immediately to my mind, probably yours too, John, is Nehemiah. When Nehemiah gets the news about the incredibly poor situation in Jerusalem, the physical structures are broken down, the people are in a bad sorts, and Nehemiah takes full responsibility. "Lord, I'm wrong. It's my problem. We've sinned against you." He takes on that personal accountability, which is just so refreshing. I read a book this past summer called Excellence Wins, and it's the story of Ritz-Carlton and its owner, founder, Horst Schultze. Now, Ritz-Carlton even is not the same Ritz-Carlton as it was when it was founded. It was bought out by Marriott. It doesn't have all the same principles today. But for many years, Ritz-Carlton was the kind of the creme de la creme of the luxury hotel business. I mean, it was the standard. And the reason for that was because of Horst Schultze, who came up with these 24 standards of service that we are going to abide by these standards of service. Excellent, excellent material. But one of them was we take personal accountability for any, we own the problem. So if a guest were having a problem with something, and let's say I was the maintenance man, and the guest was looking for an extra towel, the maintenance man was trained to say, "May I help you with something?" "Yeah, well, I'm looking for the housekeeper." "Well, how can I help you?" "Well, yeah, I don't have enough towels in my room." "I am so sorry. I am so sorry that you don't have that. Please forgive me. Let me handle that right now." And he just learned that people respond to individual humility. And it's not, hey, somebody should have gotten that to you, or hey, sometimes we're really busy. No excuse, no pass. It was, it's my fault. I own this, and let me do something about it. Here's Abigail. These are Bible principles.
That's a great principle, Pastor, this principle you're talking about. And so this is a great example from the guy there from Ritz-Carlton. And I think even today for church members, the other perspective of that as well is that we need to remember that what we do does represent. Like, I'm a member of Faith Baptist Church. And what I do, if people know I'm a member of faith, they're going to often evaluate faith by what I do. And if I'm doing wrong, if I'm being rude in public to somebody, people will say, "Oh, I know what church he goes to. They're just a bunch of hypocrites." Now, they're obviously wrong in what they say, but people, we need to keep in mind that we represent our Lord Jesus Christ. We represent the church we go to, and people often will evaluate who we represent by how we act.
That's a really good application, and you know, maybe take that to an applicational point. Let's say, for instance, I'm in a public place and somebody says, you know, I give them a gospel tract or give them an invitation to come to a service, and they say, "Well, that's such an unfriendly church." Our response should not be, "Well, no, it's not. You know, you just met the wrong people," or "I don't know when you went," or I think a good an Abigail response would be, "I'm so sorry. That is not our intention, and I wanted. Would you please forgive me? Because that's not what we want our church to be. And would you, humbly I ask, would you give us another chance? And I would like to greet you at the door. I'll save you a seat. But can we go out for a meal?" Be part of the solution by exercising individual humility.
That's exactly what Abigail has done. And she's a great example of doing that. And I just love this part of the narrative, because what she does going above and beyond as an example of what we ought to do when what we're part of does wrong, we ought to be responsible, take responsibility.
She's speaking to David, who has justified anger, and yet this humility is going to be the antidote for that anger. A soft answer turneth away wrath. It's a Bible principle. Anger foments anger. And an excuse given at this moment would have only exacerbated the situation and had augmented David's anger. So what a wise and understanding woman Abigail was. She goes on to say in verse 25, "Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord whom thou didst send." So after she takes on individual responsibility, she doesn't lie. She unfolds. Now that she has David's attention, she says, "Listen, we're aware of what happened, and we don't endorse it."
That's exactly right. She is very upfront and honest about this, about what her husband is like. No, he's a fool. That's what the word even means. He's a fool. That's what he is, David. And so she does take responsibility. She does address the problem head on and wants David to know that we want to take care of the situation. Again, a great example, that's how we ought deal with people. You know, if some wrong is done, the wrong needs to be brought out what it is and said, but we're going to fix this and make it right.
So number one, just to keep this in sequence, she displays humility. Number two, she rewords the problem so that David knows that she knows that she gets it. So she exercises individual humility. She restates the problem, but then she offers a solution. So look at verse number 26. Now, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. So, well, look at verse 20, 27. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. The blessing was the provision that she had provided that were described back last episode, you know, the measures of parched corn and the loaves of bread and the bottles of wine and all of that. So what do you make of this solution that she offers?
You know, I see here that Abigail has given him the advice, hey, you know, don't go down this pathway. This is the wrong pathway to go. You know, let God be the one who takes vengeance. You know, and I pray that all of your enemies be like Nabal. What she is saying by that is she realizes that Nabal is standing in judgment someday because of his foolish ways. But David doesn't need to be the man that takes care of that. David needs to avoid from taking vengeance and let this rest in the hands of God. And this is solid advice from what Abigail gives him.
Matter of fact, she goes on verse 28 to say, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. In other words, I know that I've spoken. I'm just a woman here speaking to the future king. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because the Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord. Because my Lord, David, fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Abigail is such an example of godly wisdom. Now think about what she has said to David here. She said, David, boy, the Lord really intervened here, didn't he? By allowing me to come and speak to you and give you what you requested. Here's your food. Here's all the stuff you wanted. Nabal made a foolish decision. That's who he is. He acted in character. But David, you don't want to avenge yourself. Let the Lord avenge. Now, what's very interesting is Abigail wasn't there when David spoke to Saul last chapter at En-Gedi. And yet, what did David say to Saul in that moment? Hey, I'm not going to avenge myself. The Lord, I'm going to let the Lord avenge. So what did God do through Abigail? He brought David back to a place of spiritual equilibrium. David, this is not who you are. You know, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. David, I'm in control, and you are going to be the king, and I am going to make all things right. And God is using a humble woman to remind David of the Lord and of the Lord's promise.
Here's I think about David in this narrative and the narrative we saw back in the previous chapter at En-Gedi and how you brought out David's words to Saul. It does remind us as believers today, it's not enough just to one day be right with God, but it's that every day we die daily, we surrender to what God has for us, we devote ourselves to follow him. We are totally every day wanting to crucify the flesh, so to speak, mortify the flesh, and we want to follow God. And David is a good man, but even good people make bad decisions sometimes. But good people who are godly people, when they're given good advice, it will cause them to reflect. And that's what David is going to do with Abigail tells him. I just love this whole interchange that shows, you know, what a person ought to do to be proactive in trying to help somebody who's going down the wrong pathway, and what a person should do when they get good advice.
Interesting how the narrative that Nabal believed about David was he's a traitor who forsook his master. So Nabal really finds commonality with Saul because they're two peas in the pod. They are selfish people. They're my people. But Abigail sees the narrative of David accurately, that David is a hero. David has behaved himself wisely. David is the recipient of God's promise of a future house, a sure blessing. And she's going to share what she knows to be true about God and about God's word. the best way that you can help somebody in their anger, in their temporary irrationality, is to bring them back to their relationship with the Lord and bring them back to the promises of God's word.
And the way Abigail handles this reminds us this need not be something that's really confrontational. People sometimes are afraid to bring out truth because they're afraid it's going to be, you know, very conflicting and going to give people a, you know, a really hard time back and forth. But Abigail shows us how to approach somebody who is even angry, but how to approach them with truth, but in a way that is wise and that is very conducive to helping the situation be resolved.
So there's the pitch. There's the request of Abigail. What is David going to do? Is his anger going to carry the day, or is he going to acquiesce and see the wisdom of Abigail's request? We're going to have to wait until next episode because we're done for today. So, hey, stay tuned. We'll come right back to this conversation tomorrow or next episode. Appreciate your faithfulness to the Lord and to this podcast. Have a great day today in the Lord. God bless you, my friend.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.